on the first Sunday of recording worship services during this COVID crisis, I preached from 1 Peter chapter 1. You may recall that the Apostle Peter begins that letter by greeting the elect exiles of the dispersion. 5 weeks now away from each other and unable to gather for public worship, we may find Peter's language particularly applicable to our situation. We Christians are exiled away from God's house of worship. The church is dispersed throughout the world, yes, but even here in this very city, Christians remain dispersed, scattered among all of our various homes. Many of those one another's of Christian ministry have been difficult. Some of them have been impossible while we are separated from each other. The present crisis has confronted us with all sorts of challenges, frustrations, worries and anxieties, many sorrows as well. But our good shepherd is still with his church and with every member of it. Have you been walking with him? He's always with us. The more important question, however, is, are we walking with him? Have you been living as one of his sheep, following your shepherd, feeding from his hand, depending on his loving care? Or have you strayed, as sheep often do? Whatever the case, I pray that the true sheep of Christ would now hear his voice and return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. We read now the holy and living word of God from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Word of God from Psalm 23. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, over the past few weeks, a lot of us have really struggled to make sense of the whole COVID crisis. We've struggled to get a handle on all the changes this pandemic has brought to our lives. Perhaps we've struggled to understand what God means for us to do in this situation. And we've struggled to know what he's doing in this situation. So we end up reading and praying the Psalms. At least, that is something that many Christians are doing right now. And if you've kind of bounced around what different churches are doing for their sermons, most sermon series have been postponed, and you find a lot of pastors digging into the Psalms, right? Because this is the prayer book that God has given to his people who at times simply do not know what to pray. A few days ago, we were informed that one of our church members is guilty of having committed heinous sin. That revelation has absolutely rocked his family. It has deeply grieved the members of our congregation. The news has brought such overwhelming sorrow and vexation to my soul that I've been compelled every day to return to the Psalms again and again. Psalm 23 has been particularly helpful to me personally. And that, of course, has been the experience of so many Christians in times of crisis, right? How often have you seen it on TV or in a movie? A ship is about to sink, a plane is about to crash, a criminal is about to be executed, and someone begins reciting Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's no mystery as to why that is the case. Few passages in Scripture are quite so comforting and so memorable. If you suddenly find yourself going down in flames, you may very well start reciting Psalm 23. You might not be able to do much else. But the comforting power of this psalm is not for those who can merely recite it. Psalm 23 brings true and lasting comfort to those who recognize Jesus as Lord over all. As Yahweh, the one true and eternal God who became true man in order to die for the sins of his people. Remember his teaching in John 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10 verses 14 and 15. And then just a little bit later in John 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Understand, Psalm 23 brings true and lasting comfort only to those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Only to those who receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Those who can say from the heart, I know the Lord Jesus to be my shepherd because I trust that He laid down His life and died to save me. Shed His precious blood to purchase me. One of His sheep, whom He will never lose. Dear saints, as we go through a very difficult season in life, as we draw ever nearer to death, we really need to know one thing. Above all, that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, the Savior who died for us and now lives again so that He guides us and He defends His sheep. He governs our lives and grows us until He finally brings us to glory. So we're going to consider today from Psalm 23 just a few points. Not just about what it means for Him to be shepherd, but what it means for us to confess Him our Lord, my good shepherd. And it's a confession of faith, but it really is a psalm where David shows us what it means to walk by faith in that shepherd. Not merely trusting that He did something to save us, but a relationship in which we are continually living by faith in that shepherd who gives us such great love and care. My first point, Jesus is my shepherd who gives me true life. Jesus is my shepherd who gives me true life. Now, he's not a genie who magically grants my every wish. But if Jesus is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can be confident that He will meet all my needs. Why? Well, for one thing, He is Creator God. Sovereign Lord over everything in the universe. And for another, He loved His people so much that He became a creature, true man, who not only lived a perfectly obedient life for us, the life we could never live as sinners, but also sacrificed Himself and died under God's terrible wrath in order to pay the full debt that we sinners could never pay. We're not God's sheep simply because He created us. No, we are all by nature His enemies. Rebels who deserve nothing but terrible judgment from our holy Creator. We become His sheep. Better, we become His sons and daughters. Because Jesus reconciled us to God by his obedient life and sacrificial death. It's by God's grace alone that we who trust in the crucified and risen Savior are forgiven all our sins and granted eternal life. Well, here's the point. If the gift of salvation cost him so much, how could Jesus, your good shepherd, ever fail to provide what you need for body or soul? Remember what Paul says in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. What Paul means is the Father giving up his son to die for all of us who believe, right? How will he not also with him give us all things? See, the cross of Christ, brothers and sisters, it's the cross of Christ that gives us believers the confidence that, yes, he perfectly cares for us. There are times in life when we suffer great loss. Many of us are suffering loss right now. And yes, there are times when the Lord takes from us something that we really need. Or at least we think we need it. But that is only because he means to give us something better. And it's a far better thing. It's true life in him. Our Savior, our good shepherd. He died for us to have eternal life. But see, that is not simply deliverance from hell, future life in heaven. No, it's also life in Christ today. He wants us to find true life and lasting joy in no earthly thing, in no set of temporal circumstances, but in him. Listen, when we realize this, my dear friends in Christ, when we realize what we have in Jesus, we can lose everything else and still say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, and since I have him, I lack no good thing. In fact, I am most rich through his grace and love for me." Notice this description of the good life in Psalm 23. It begins with the imagery of a shepherd bringing his sheep into good places where they might rest and where they can find good food and drink. Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Indeed, the Lord Jesus cares for his sheep and he cares for their bodies. He does provide for our physical lives, to be sure. But we're not literally sheep with merely physical needs, right? We're human beings made in the image of God. We have spirits. And though we were dead in our sins, Jesus makes us spiritually alive by the power of his Spirit, who continually strengthens us with spiritual life. Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Of course, people want the good life now, right? We want to be healthy and wealthy. We want to be successful in life. We want to have tranquility. The Lord promised us no such thing. Well, he promised that for the life to come. He promised us no such thing, however, in this present evil age. But he gives us true life in himself. He is the great Redeemer who gives us spiritual rest, peace with God, the forgiveness of sins. He is the shepherd who satisfies our souls and renews us in righteousness as we live in fellowship with him. But how do we practice fellowship with Christ? Where are those good pastures where our shepherd feeds us and restores our souls? In his word. In John 10, remember, he says that his sheep will listen to his voice and follow him. So I ask you, these last few weeks, as you struggle through life, as you grow more and more concerned about your employment and about finances, as you wonder about the next path to take, are you listening to the voice of your shepherd through prayerful reading of his word and prayerful reflection upon his word? Because, of course, that is where he speaks to us. That is how he nourishes his sheep. He renews our spiritual lives. It's through his word that he feeds us with himself. That is where he gives us rest, delights us with his grace, renews us to walk in righteousness for his praise. Sheep, you know, it's not the most flattering image the Bible uses for Christians. Sheep. Sheep are weak animals. And they're rather stupid animals. How foolish we can be to think that we have life in and of ourselves. If you're anything like me, you think that every day, to one degree or another. How foolish we are at times to think we can maintain our lives by all of our planning and all of our hard work. How foolish we sheep can be to think that we can make the family function properly by sheer force of will. That we can be really happy for a while at least by binging on TV or on the video games. Binging on alcohol or pornography. Binging on extra work or even exercise. So wrong. We fools will work and play and entertain ourselves to death. But if you want true and lasting joy, if you want true life, you have it in Christ. And your good shepherd gives you more and more life in himself, especially through his word, which he also uses to make us wise, so that we would live not only to enjoy him, but also to glorify his name. In this difficult season, brothers and sisters, while we are away from one another and exiled, as it were, from public worship, woe to us if we ignore the voice of Jesus, our good shepherd, who alone has the word of life. Dear saints, daily avail yourselves of this vital means of grace, the word of Christ, which gives life and strengthens us to face death. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My second point, Jesus is my shepherd who keeps me through deep darkness. Jesus is my shepherd who keeps me through deep darkness. In the dry parts of the Mideast, it is not always easy to find water, so the shepherd may have to lead his sheep into a dark ditch between some mountains, into a deep crag between these rocky cliffs, for example. He may find water there. But of course, he may also run into a lion or a group of bandits. Psalm 23 does not comfort us with an unrealistic picture of how sweet life can be if you just don't worry, be happy. Now, there are many dangers in this life, and we must pass through many dark valleys, as the psalm reminds us. Dark valleys where any number of evils might bring us down to death. But you see, dear saints, the point here is that our good shepherd is, even then, still leading us. His blood-bought sheep, so precious in his sight, that he never turns his eyes off from us. He never leaves us. Jesus keeps us through all the dangers of this world, through all the evils and calamities of this world. In fact, he can even use deep darkness to draw us further into his light. And he will use the brokenness of this world to drive us into his arms, which can make us whole. And he will use death, even death itself, to bring us further into life with God. Jesus is a great Savior. But his ways are indeed mysterious. And we sheep are not supposed to figure him out. I'm not supposed to know every which way he leads me. Instead, with childlike faith, I'm supposed to trust that my shepherd is mighty and good, that he is all wise and abounding in mercy. I'm to trust that he is with me so that I will fear no evil. You know, if you focus on all the deadly dangers of this world, in the valley of the shadow of death, if you focus upon all that darkness of sin, focus upon what is broken or what is lost, you might easily be overwhelmed to the point of depression or despair. But if you just look up to Jesus, you say, that's just too simple, Pastor. But I say it again. If you just look up to Jesus, your fears will begin to dissipate. Your sorrows will begin to lose their bitterness as you rest in his gracious hands and as you submit to his rod and staff. Yes, our good shepherd may lead us into the valley of the shadow of death. He may use the rod to discipline us foolish sheep who are prone to wander. But we can still have the strength and the courage to press on by exercising faith in that Savior who endured on the cross the deepest darkness of hell in order to bring us abiding peace with God, to establish us in the abiding peace of God. Now, if you're a Christian, you know all these truths, right? And you believe these things. But in that valley of deep darkness, these truths might do you little, if any, good. And do you know why that is, brothers and sisters? It's because with all your focus set on your circumstances and on your emotions, on all the dangers and all the brokenness and all the misery, you simply listen to yourselves instead of talking to yourselves. When I listen to myself in times of trouble, I'll tell you what happens. See if you can relate. When I listen to myself in times of trouble, I let that internal monologue run, and it will run me right into worse trouble through all my worrying, complaining, moaning, and doubting. Now, there are various causes for depression. There are various ways to treat depression. I don't mean to be overly simplistic today, but I think we can learn something from one of the greatest pastors of the 20th century. In his book, Spiritual Depression, Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote that one of our biggest problems is our tendency to listen to ourselves when we should be talking to ourselves. Do you appreciate his meaning? The Christian is equipped with the truth and grace of God's word to talk or, yes, preach to ourselves. And that's exactly what David's doing right here in Psalm 23. This is not a song of praise or even instruction in the first place. And at least it doesn't begin as a prayer. Psalm 23 is most definitely David's self-talk. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He leads me. He restores me. He protects me. I will fear no evil because you are with me. So you'll notice there how preaching truth to himself leads David to turn to God in prayer. We find it all over the Psalms. We rob ourselves of great comfort, of joy, of hope, Because while we might know that Christ is always with us, we will not practice his presence by using his word and praying. Let's spend more time listening to him speak to us in his word. Let's also look to get the word dwelling so richly in us that we would use it to preach to ourselves. Rather than just listening to ourselves, to use the word to talk to ourselves, preach to ourselves that truth and grace that will lead us to call on our shepherd who will keep us through deepest darkness. He will even bless us in the presence of our enemies. The end of the psalm, verse 5, would you notice with me here in conclusion? Verse 5, David writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My third and last point here, briefly, friends. Jesus is my shepherd, whose lavish love will bring me to glory. Jesus is my shepherd, whose lavish love will bring me to glory. We do not have time to do justice to this final portion of Psalm 23, but it clearly points us to that day when our shepherd will at last bring us into the glory of his kingdom, into the full glory of his presence. And then we will forever dwell in the house of the Lord. Through his grace in Christ, our Heavenly Father will finally deliver us from all the darkness and from all the brokenness of this world, from all the pain and the sorrows. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. He'll deliver us from all of our sins and welcome us into his house, our everlasting home, where we will feast in his presence. Where we will have the fullness of life, praising our triune God and Savior forever. But let's not miss this. David says that we may already enjoy feasting before the Lord. Even while our enemies continue to surround and afflict us, even when it seems that we only have our tears to eat, even there, he spreads a table for us. Did you notice verse 5? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Sometimes enemies are other people. But do not forget that you daily face that unholy trinity of enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We're no match for the temptations of this world. We're no match for the sin that remains in us. We're no match for the schemes of the devil. Yet we must fight them continually. And we will have the strength and the courage to do so through the love our good Lord lavishes upon his redeemed people. The imagery of Psalm 23 moves from shepherd to hospitable king in verse 5. Did you notice? The imagery of shepherd and sheep sort of fades. And we have here in verses 5 and 6 the image of a great hospitable king. The Lord Jesus is that great king who welcomes us into his presence. Not only to protect us from our enemies, but also to provide us with a feast for our spiritual health and joy. He is our cup. Dear saints, his goodness and mercy, his steadfast love will follow us all our days and will finally bring us into the glory of our kingdom inheritance. We long to taste the glorious kingdom by returning to God's house of worship, where we can even feast on the Lord himself, Jesus, the bread of heaven, when we come to him at his table and receive the Lord's Supper. We long to do that again. It is a time of grief, of lamentation, as long as we are away from the public assembly of God's people in his house. But until we can gather again in that way, and until we make it home by God's grace. And I mean our eternal home. Let's make better use of the means of grace in our own homes, in our private lives, in family worship. I mean the Word of God in prayer. And watch our great Savior King spread a feast for us there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.